Quick housekeeping. I'm thinking about, so, you know, in my house, we tend to try and, one thing that I've realized is that, I think the last time I spoke, I talked about hurry on Sunday morning. So try and prepare everyone and say, okay, next Sunday, we need to leave the house by 9:30. Then the question is, why? And, you know, some Sundays, no, don't worry, we can leave the house at 10. You know, so it's flexible. Then, so they're talking, I think, during the week. So with Samantha, and she's like, okay, we're leaving for church early. And said, yes, because Daddy is speaking. She now went, oh, what are you preaching? What is that? I went, okay, I will be talking to everyone. Oh, like you standing in front and talking, like, yes. So what are you talking about? Then I said, worship. And she went, worship? Is it those big? Are you going to talk about those big ones with plane landing on them? Then I went, oh, okay. It's worship. And she said, oh, worship. I couldn't figure out the difference between those two. But just so you know, this is what I will be talking about today. And not that one. If you're, you know, part of the sermon is actually inspired by worship. I have a slide that is almost inspired by sheep. But it's just the way it is. So that's my housekeeping. I'm talking about this one. Worship, not that one. Amen. And, you know, last week, Stuart spoke about worship, the first part of it, and very well articulated a particular personality and how she, you know, she went all out. That was an individual. And today, we just want to look at how we as a group, as a church, as a collective, can actually worship God. And one thing I was thinking about on this also is, ask myself the question, what is worship? Have you actually asked yourself that question? And I was trying to define it to myself, and all I ended up doing is, I was talking about my action rather than the depth of what worship is. So when I thought about worship, I was thinking, yeah, sing, raise your hand as you do all the time. For some of us that have good dance moves, maybe you try and bust some moves. But and then I went in and just thought of it. Okay, what is worship? It says show reverence and adoration to a deity, to God. That's what that is. But I love the second one, and which is the word I'm basing everything on today. And it says it's an act of ascribing ultimate value to something. Yeah. It engages every ounce of your being. So every part of you worship. It's not just my hand. It is not just my singing. It is every makeup of Amos worship. So if I'm talking about worshiping God, it's about the whole of me. Not just part of me. Not just my mouth. Not just my leg. Not just my hand. Not just my head. Every part of you worship. And they, you know what? You're worshiping God. And, you know, he said, ascribing ultimate value to something. And I saw while studying this also that the word worship came from just a join of two words, worth and value. So you put it, it's come from the word worth, and you put in some massive value that this person, this God, has a value, and it is not a quantifiable value. It is beyond quantifiable. And I just love that so much. So, you know, I said it's not just about raising of hands and everything, but the reality is, if I want to worship God, I need to be my whole person. It needs to be about my entire being. It's not just a part of it. And that's what led me to Romans chapter 12. It's a very popular Bible verse, but in fact, you know, you will read over and over through it a couple of times. But on this occasion, I had a different meaning to that place. And so, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I think there is an emphasis on that living sacrifice, because that's one thing we look at. So, living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2 goes on and says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is. Yeah. Is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. And that's cool. And you know, I want to tell us this one this morning, that no matter where you find yourself, no matter what circumstance you get yourself into, the best way to get out of it is to tune to God.
Yes. Yeah.
The best way, the easiest way to get out of it is to turn to God.
Yeah.
And we cannot do that unless we have an understanding of who He is. We cannot do that unless we have an understanding of what He is capable of doing. You see, I see something that worship is about who God is.
Right.
Not what God is doing. Mm. Not what God has done.
Yeah.
In fact, in my head, I would say praise is about just saying thank you for what you have done. Worship is saying, whoa, this is an awesome God.
Yeah.
That is who He is. So it's about me looking at who He is.
Uh-huh.
That means His personality is beyond whatever I might be going through. His personality, His person is beyond what I can see.
Yeah.
And that is why we worship Him.
Mm.
Not because of what He can do or what, it's because of who He is.
Yeah.
You know, I keep doing like this. Not that God is this tall or this. You know, it's one of those things that when you have a voice that sounds a bit different to a lot of people, they make you do God, and you stand in every drama, you're just at the back of the curtain and say, my son, because everyone thinks God sounds a particular way, you know. But, so don't think I'm doing this because God is like, but it's just me thinking, that is who God is.
Yeah.
He is just beyond comprehension. And I worship Him because of who He is.
Yeah.
That is why we worship. That is what this is about. And, you know, as a church, as elders, we thought about all these things. That what do we need as a church to even say, this is where we stand.
Yeah.
These are the marker. And worship stood out as one of those things. We had that word there. We said to honor God through acts of adoration and service.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you show adoration to God just because of who He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I went further to start thinking about this. If I have this, I started color coding my notes, because I didn't want to miss out anything. I had this written. I said, however you define it, or whatever your take or viewpoint is, one thing is that we all agree, or I agree in my heart, is that we need to rediscover the dynamics of worship in our service. We just need to rethink about it. That what is worship? Because it feels as if some of us, we come to church on Sunday. That's just my worship. That, I'm going to the worship service on Sunday. It's beyond us coming here on Sunday morning to meet.
Yes.
Worship is about us all. Collectively, We think about it as a church, that it is beyond the four walls of this place, that in our heart as Buckskin Church, what we think about when it comes to worship is that there is a family that collectively we surrender ourselves to God. I want to quickly focus on this, and it's the word living sacrifice. You know, those two words, they don't go together. They cannot, or in our thinking, they can't go together. Something cannot be alive and also be a sacrifice. If it is a sacrifice, it's either dead. In fact, the Old Testament talked about burnt offering. Every sacrifice, when it's talked about in the Old Testament, he's talking about of it as being dead. But here, we're saying a living sacrifice, and that is talking about us. Because when something is living and it's a sacrifice, it's potentially telling us that you are alive and constantly being sacrificed to God. So that means I don't have control over my life. I've given my entire being to God. I've sacrificed what is Amos. He's living, he's working, you can see him, but everything about him is controlled by God. And that is where we want to be as a church. Because in case you didn't take that from that chapter 12, I'll quickly read this. He said, there are things in that place that we probably need to understand. Now, part of it, he said, let's present our bodies, did you notice that? That would be plural, as a living sacrifice, singular. What God wants for us is all of us, to present ourselves as a church, but as one sacrifice. Not individually going out as a separate sacrifice, but we are coming in as a body of Christ to give our entire being to God as one sacrifice, and that is our life. I love the idea of just being on God's altar, giving ourselves to God, to serve Him, to do great things within the community. You see, every time we go out, every time we walk with people, every time we share the gospel, every time you walk and help someone, it is about your thoughts in terms of what God has, who God is. I care so much about how I see God or how you see God. I care so much about that, because if we don't have an understanding of who God is, then we will not be able to connect with Him. Yeah. My knowledge of God determines how much of my relationship is built on Him. If I don't know Him, or if I don't know Him, I will not have a better relationship with Him. I will not have a good relationship with Him, because He's just there, far away. But I want to be as connected as possible to God. And I said, a sacrifice is something of value that is given up completely to God as an act of worship. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of blood sacrifices, and I would say they were picture pointing forward to Christ's ultimate sacrifice. And that's all we see. It has to do with death. When there is sacrifice, there is death. But what we want to do as a living sacrifice is to be dead to ourselves and be alive to God. You know, living sacrifice is us living in devotion to Him by loving and serving one another in His name. You know, if we look at the rest of Romans chapter 12, there is something that actually stood out in that place. That's more of a homework for you. You notice that there was a constant act within the group. In fact, there was a lot of us collective in Romans chapter 12 when you start reading down. And that is where we want to be, that where the art of worship takes away selfishness and brings us to a point where we want to constantly think about living for God. And that made me sort of ask the question that, could there be anything that will actually stop us from worshiping God, that will distort our relationship, our worship? I told you that part of it is inspired by sheep. If you look at that, decide to go hard sheep. You see where I'm going? That's affecting. You see, it's just like something. Either way, it either pulls you away from worship or takes you to a place of worship. You see, some of us, it could be hardship. I started by saying the best way to get out of a trouble is to turn to God. You see, some people, when they are faced with hardship, when they're faced with confusion, when they're faced with trouble, the sheep takes them away from worship. Well, the best thing to do is to let the sheep take you to worship as a solution. You know, sometimes it's about ownership.
Yeah.
You know, the book of Matthew, and find out, Matthew 6:21, it said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
Yeah.
You know, it's many of us, we just take things that I own this, it is mine. My life is mine. My money is mine. All that you can see is mine. Then that becomes a God. That becomes something you want to reference. That becomes something you want to adore in this case. But if you think of it the other way and say, everything that I own, everything that I have, the life that I have belongs to God. I worship God with it. That takes you to worship. Yeah. So it's either way. It either takes you to worship or pulls you away from worship. Mm. I have relationship. You know, there is this really, really nice place in Hebrews chapter 10. He said, talking about, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So much more, the more as you see the day approaching. That's the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. He wants us to be in relationship. Yeah. Be together. Let's come together in a place. Let's encourage one another. Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes relationship also can pull us away from worship. But we want a relationship that pulls us towards worship. And that is why Hebrews 10:25 is giving us that command, that we come together. Do not forsake the assembly of ourselves. You know, let's be together. Let's connect. And as I look through, one other Bible passage that stood out for me is the book of Psalm 95. Psalm 95. And the thing about Psalm 95 is he talks so much about why you should worship, how you should worship, when should you worship. I will encourage us to read that, please, and just challenge yourself with us, please, with Psalm 95. And I thinking around this and ask myself the question, and the same question for the church, that where are you this morning, actually? Where is your heart? What are you thinking about? What is your worship? What does it look like? Are you going to strip it back and go bare and say, okay, God, take just the whole of me? That it is not just about the hand raising, hand waving, but all of me. Wonder you might be in church and still thinking, no, that is not possible. I can't give God everything. There is a limit to what I can open up to God. You know what? He knows everything. It is not even about you opening up to God. It is about you willing to surrender all to God. This morning, I just want to challenge us. And you're in church and you're thinking, but how can I do that? How do I get to a place where I can give my entire being to him? How do I get to that point? There would be opportunity for you today, and we'll be willing to have a chat with you. If you're thinking and going, yes, I really, really want to be part of this collective. I want to be part of this corporate worship. I want to be part of this environment where we all think about God in the same way, that we all bring ourselves as a sacrifice, as a unitary sacrifice, even though we are many. Two quotes in my slide, if you will get there. The first one is, he said, the revelation of God is the fuel for the fire of our worship. That's one of the things I started with, that I need to know God to be able to get into. Second one, worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worship. So if I want to be like God, because that is what I've been called to be, I need to know him. I need to be ready to worship him. I need to be ready to give my all to him. And you know what? The best way to do that is to come as you are.
Yeah, amen.
Come as you are and just say, God, here I am. Without anything, without any, we need to just take away all the veneer, all the coverings, and say, God, here I am. And I surrender all to you.
Yeah.
Can we pray together? Mm-hmm. Father God, we just come before you this morning and surrender ourselves, our entire being unto you, Lord. We've come as a living sacrifice, you know, a sacrifice that stays alive on the altar. If we want to continually give ourselves to you, Father God, I pray that you will open our eyes to see. Let there be an outpouring of your presence in our heart, Lord. Father, we want to know more of you, that we might be able to worship all of you. Lord, help us. And this morning, we just bring ourselves as a weak. In case you're in church and you're thinking, I want to speak to someone about this. The elders will be very willing to actually talk to you about it and what they know, what their heart is. Because I feel God is saying things to people this morning and you're just not sure. And worship is not just about you. It's all about God. Thank you, Jesus.